Philadelphia is committed to shrinking its county jail population, but that commitment comes into question when one considers the increasing percentage of inmates being held on so-called detainer orders, often stemming from technical violations of probation or parole. CityandStatePA.com reporter Ryan Briggs examined the situation and joins me with a closer look. Ryan, welcome to Newsworks tonight.
Thanks, Dave.
And we're talking primarily about low-level offenders.
Well, what we found in our analysis is that about one in three inmates who are detained for probation or parole violations are sitting in jail for misdemeanor or lesser charges, so not necessarily a felony charge, not necessarily a violent crime.
And that one-third level is up significantly over the past decade?
That's correct. We found that while the jail population overall has gone down, the proportion of people who are in jail for probation or parole violations has gone up over the past 5 years or so.
So explain this notion of a detainer order, or what you refer to as a detention trap.
Right. So, I mean, essentially what this is, it's a punishment for violating some stricture of probation or parole. For instance, if you are arrested again, that could be a violation of your probation or parole. If you show up late to meetings, if you fail a drug test, those are all, different kinds of violations. What some criminal defense attorneys will tell you is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of rhyme or reason for when the probation department detains people for those violations. And in some instances, like the gentleman that we profile in this article, you have people who are detained indefinitely who don't necessarily have a violent criminal background and didn't necessarily do anything violent that might otherwise warrant them being held in county lockup for an indefinite period of time.
Tell us a bit about the specifics of Jose Ribot.
In Jose's case, we found that he had accepted a plea deal for an arrest some years ago around a drug charge and had gotten several years of probation. He was arrested again years later on another drug charge for selling a gram of heroin, but otherwise didn't have a violent background. And he wound up being detained in the county holding cells for 18 months before his case went to trial. So in this instance, it meant that a person who wasn't necessarily the riskiest kind of criminal that we see was taking up a bed at the county detention center for over a year.
That 18-month period, does that seem, was that at the outside of what you observed, or some are held even longer than that?
That would be on the high end. I believe the city told us that the average length of stay was around 100 days, but that's still a very long time. And if the city is saying now, you know, that we don't have space in jails to keep every offender locked up until their trial and that we need to be prioritizing, you can see how detaining people on these sometimes technical violations or even just, you know, nonviolent offenses can contribute to the overcrowding in the Philadelphia prison system.
So you're referring to a slow criminal trial process, also, I presume, an understaffed probation department.
That's correct. I don't want to portray the probation department as being, you know, a malign actor in all of this. In general, you've got about 200 probation officers that are overseeing a population of some 45,000 individuals who are out on probation at any given time. And to their credit, you know, only 1 to 2% of that group is being detained, but that still adds up to thousands of people. In many cases, that occurs because probation officers don't have the time to be able to analyze the specifics of every single case that comes across their desk. So if they are charged with supervising someone who's out on probation or parole, if there's someone with substance abuse issues that might be getting arrested over and over again, at a certain point, a probation officer may recommend that they be detained just so that they know where they are and that that person isn't, you know, out on the streets continuing to get arrested. So there's a sort of security framework here that probation's trying to meet. And it can be very overwhelming just given the sheer numbers of people that the department oversees.
Let's bring money into this. To what extent are these perpetrators and violators without the means to be represented?
In the case of Jose Ribot, he had taken a plea deal.
Yeah, he refers to something called a 6-5 split.
Right.
What does that mean?
6-5 split is sort of like prison slang for an offer that is commonly presented by the district attorney for 6 months jail time and 5 years probation. And this is sort of the product of previous efforts to reduce prison overcrowding, where we said we're going to try to give people, you know, an offer to get them out of the jail, to put them on probation so they're not taking up space in, you know, a prison somewhere. But what that ends up doing, especially if, you know, again, you're someone with a substance abuse issue or you come from, you know, maybe a rougher neighborhood, it puts you on thin ice for years. And in Jose's case, he accepted that offer because he was sitting in lockup, couldn't make bail for his first arrest because he was working a minimum wage job and he just didn't have the money to get out. So after a couple of months, the DA comes to him and says, here's your ticket out. So he took it. And I think what he says in the article is that years later, he really came to regret that decision because it meant years down the road that he would be held again, this time for much longer, in that same detention center.
So kind of the opposite of a ticket out.
Right. And that was sort of the focus of the piece, is that these efforts that were intended to keep people out of county jails in some cases end up putting them there for much greater lengths of time.
Your piece also looks to solutions, though it contrasts Philadelphia with other cities, and Chicago apparently doesn't have the problem to nearly the same extent as Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear from data, you know, why their percentage might be so much lower. But what we found is that, you know, in Chicago, it's about a third of the portion of the local prison population that's being held on these kinds of detention orders. So Philadelphia does seem to be something of an outlier for whatever reason. I will say, you know, as part of the $3 million MacArthur grant that has been issued to the local court system, the probation department, the First Judicial District, many different apparatuses of the local criminal justice system are, you know, committed to putting that money towards reducing these kinds of populations.
There's something wonky sounding called the Advanced Review and Consolidation Program.
Yeah, there's the ARC program, which is a kind of complex method of expediting some of these sort of probation and parole cases, getting them out through the court system faster, reducing the amount of time that someone might be held on a detention order. The main focus of the MacArthur grant is trying to expand electronic monitoring. So again, to go back to the case of Jose, were he to have been on house arrest for 18 months instead of taking up a bed in one of the county holding cells, that would be, you know, one less person contributing to the overcrowded local prison system that we have.
And another benefit would be less of a burden on the taxpayer, I imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, it costs about $135 a day to incarcerate an individual. The problem thus far has been coming up with the money to upgrade the city's electronic monitoring technology so that they can expand the number of people who could be put on house arrest. At this point, there just aren't enough tracking devices for the city to be able to monitor, you know, all of the low-level offenders that, you know, are being arrested or that a judge is saying, you know, need to be monitored because they violated parole or committed a crime or were arrested, what have you.
Where's Jose now?
Jose entered a community college program, which is how I encountered him. And I believe he, at this point, should have completed his first year of schooling at CCP, the Community College of Philadelphia. So he, you know, had turned his life around through some of the rehabilitative programs that, you know, he encountered in prison. I think, you know, if you ask him if he looks back favorably on the time that he was rotting in a detention center, he would say that that was not helpful to him at the time to give him, you know, the kind of tools that he needed to succeed and get an education and kind of rise out of Kensington, where he had been arrested, you know, for his initial drug charges.
Your piece does touch on the greater consideration about whether we're treating drug offenders as criminals or folks with a medical issue.
Yeah, I mean, and I would say one area where Jose and the probation officials agreed is that the drug war presents a serious obstacle to true criminal justice reform, because we arrest tens of thousands of people every year or more on drug crimes, nonviolent crimes in many instances. And if you're someone with a substance abuse issue who is being repeatedly arrested for drug possession because of the habit that you have, systems like probation and parole and the detention that comes along with that can be very punishing. And you can have people who, instead of getting treatment for addiction, are instead getting indefinite lockup without bail at a county jail.
And again, inordinately punishing those with the least means for quality representation.
Absolutely. And so that's very sad. And, you know, in Jose's case, I think he doesn't look back fondly on his circumstances, but he felt a lot of sympathy for people who were getting sucked into what he describes as a trap because of the substance abuse issues that they were dealing with.
Ryan, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thank you, Dave.